Welcome back to the Recruitment Entrepreneur Podcast. We are joined today by Rohit Kapoor, co-founder of Pager. Pager was born when the co-founders noticed a shift in the way people prospected, communicated, and built their business and brands online. Like other great businesses, Pager started off small. Fast forward 5 years, they now have 700 clients, a team of 37, and an international presence. Recruitment Entrepreneur is proud to call Pager a partner with a large share of our portfolio of businesses using Pager on a daily basis, helping build their brands, with more businesses looking to join this year. Rohit joins us today to discuss the importance of LinkedIn, branding, and making the most of your time. Rohit joins us today to discuss the importance of LinkedIn, time management, and personal branding. Rohit, thanks very much for joining me today. Great having you on our podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
So let's get straight into it. Recruitment. You were a recruiter back in the day.
Yeah.
How did you get into the career of recruitment? Was it a choice or did you fall into it like many others?
Yeah, I did. I definitely fell into it. Basically, what happened was I was in university and I left university, I think, 8 months into it. And coming from an Asian background, my parents were quite disappointed, ultimately. Mm. And I came back home. I had already a small business running anyway in my local village. And ultimately, my parents, you know, were quite disappointed. You know, the last son, you know, wants to get, you know, a degree and everything. And so. I felt that, and I was like, I've literally just let my parents down.
Yeah. So what was the business that you had in your local village then?
It was teaching cricket, actually. So I did one-to-one awesome. Cricket coaching.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved. You know, I played at a really high standard as a kid.
Yeah. And so then, they can't have been that disappointed. So you, like, you'd set up your own little business back then anyway.
I think, you know, the whole process for them is you get a degree and you get a job, and that is the process.
Yeah.
There's no, you know,
no in between. Set path.
It's you get a degree and you get a job, and that's it. And it's going to be great because you've got a degree.
So you fell out of uni 8 months in.
8 months in, yeah. I went to Greenwich University. Great university. But I just wasn't the best student. Yeah.
What did you study there?
I studied building surveying.
Oh, interesting.
Very. Yeah. only because I knew that there was a lot of money to be made in that industry.
Yeah.
And someone told me once, oh, you know, you can make a lot of money in building surveying. I was like, great. So let's look at some buildings.
So your first, you fell out of building surveying.
Yeah.
Who was your first job with?
So basically, I'll tell you how I fell into it. So I basically went upstairs. You know, I had, again, a massive argument with my parents, went upstairs in my bedroom, and I got a Yellow Pages book, and I basically opened up recruitment agencies. And I literally saw an agency, and I called this agency and I said, look, I've got 8 months experience in uni, and I was doing building surveying, I was studying it. Can you help me? You know, can you guide me? What do I do? And the guy on the other end of the phone said, well, you know what? You sound really good on the phone. Why don't you come in for a job here as a recruiter? And I was like, yeah, right, come on. And lo and behold, I kid you not, this guy used to go to my school and he was 5 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
And I still keep in touch with him now.
Small world.
After all, yeah, small world. So anyway, I got to the interview, and it was like a group interview.
Mm.
And it was like a long table. Yeah, this 06, 07, right? It was a long table. You had the MD at one side and you had the CEO on the other, and we all had to sell our hobbies. That was the first round. And everyone had to go around the table selling their hobbies. And I was really passionate about cricket, and you know, this is what I'm doing. So I played for Hampshire and I did all this stuff, and I was really enthusiastic. And they were like, oh, Rohit, you did brilliant. You did the best. Now, recruitment's all about choices. What I need you to do now, and this is in front of everybody, tell me who should lead this process.
Wow, put on the spot.
Straight away. And I thought, all right, this is not real life.
So Dragon's Den, but not taking the responsibility.
Basically, yeah. Like, I was very naive, and I was like, oh, well, so this is life then, is it? And well, I think he should go. Guy was like, well, you got to leave. See you. you've got to just leave the room now.
Awkward.
Really awkward. And I was like, okay. And got the job in London. So I basically moved from Southampton to London and worked in recruitment. So
So how long were you with that business for?
I was there for about just over a year.
Okay. Did he ask anybody else that question? Who should leave?
The second round, yes, but I. So the second round was I had to sell someone else's hobby.
Okay.
And
that's quite an intense interview process. Probably one that I've not heard been done before, and maybe not been done in the future.
Yeah.
But who knows?
I mean, yeah. I think it was quite old school in their way. So yeah, it was pretty daunting. But I just knew, right, you can make a lot of money in recruitment. Mm. You can make 100 grand a year. Mum and dad, I'm going, like, I've made it. I'm packing my bags and I'm going to London.
Going to the big city.
They were like, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. Like, I've disappointed you once. I've got to make it. Mm. I have to make it. I've got to go. So then I got a train, one-way ticket, and off I went.
So what happened after that year? Did you ring them saying that I've left? Or did you just find
I just followed the mill, basically. Then I worked for a company and I was there for about 2.5 years. I found it really difficult. Like, doing recruitment in 06 and then 07-08 was really hard. You had a massive recession.
Yeah.
I'm a naive kid at 19 years old. What am I doing? Like, what am I doing in London? Like, I'm very naive in terms of the calls I was making.
Yeah.
I had no life experience, really.
Yeah.
What
was the training setup like in that recruitment company at the time?
It was very much, this is what you do, this is how you do it, basically. Yeah. Like, it is basically numbers, numbers, numbers. And it was different because you didn't have technology back then.
Yeah, of course.
You basically had a phone. You had email,
yeah,
and that is it, basically, and a database, and you stick with that database, and that is it. You didn't really have that much. I mean, there's so much tech today. Obviously, we'll go through that, but back then it was difficult. You were CV stripping. You were.
It was predominantly job boards, wasn't it? You know, social media at that point. I can't remember the launch of Facebook, 06, maybe before then. You know, LinkedIn, obviously, nowhere near as prominent as today, barely existing. It was a tiny platform.
It was, yeah.
So yeah, you literally were living off job boards, emails, and a phone book,
and stripping the CVs off, right? So doing fake references and stuff, you know, things that you just thought, I shouldn't be doing it, but I've got to do it to make this 100 grand salary, you know, that I really wanted to do, and I was chasing it, and I was going, Mum and Dad, look, I can make it.
So how long did the recruitment career then last? You did a year there?
About 5 years.
So, I mean, that's still a good tenure in recruitment.
Yeah, I did. And then obviously I made my way to Broadbean. But recruitment was a roller coaster.
You were a good recruiter?
I don't think so, no.
But you managed to blag it for 5 years?
Do you know what it was? Like I said, I was really young. I had no life skills. I was speaking to people that had life experience. Like, you know, I didn't have the experience at all, and I wish I did. I wish I did something, you know, that gave me experiences, like travelled or did something, right? Rather than going to a job where I'm going, do you want a job with this client? I want you to get this job so I can get paid my commission ultimately.
So it obviously wasn't a passion, it was something to get you going in the industry, in the sector, into
basic,
London.
But I really, really wanted to make it work, and I was determined to make it work and do what I needed to do to make it work. It's not like I wasn't making money, I was making money, but I wasn't making 100 grand.
You talk about, you know, looking back in hindsight, having that life experience. You must have learned something in those 5 years, you know, obviously late teens, early 20s, you were in London. What were your takeaways, your kind of key highlights from that experience within recruitment?
I still do it today, is to be, I am much more resilient, you know, thick-skinned, you know, all of these things like that I think you need in today's world, right?
You learn that from the sales industry.
Yeah, of course, yeah. To, and really to be consistent. to make sure you are consistently doing the smaller things, right? The things that you were taught years ago, because everything else after that is going to fall into place. Yeah. But you've got to do the basics, right? The basics. If you do the basics right and consistently all the time, mm-hmm. then things will just start working in place for you, rather than you just trying to, wait for a silver platter to come to your table.
You've got to work for it.
Yeah, definitely. When I was younger and did recruitment, maybe I don't know, I wasn't working as hard. Maybe I didn't have the commitments I've got now with a mortgage, family car, all sorts. You know, so maybe I didn't have that added pressure.
So did you kind of like fall out of love with it? At the end of that 5 years, what was your thinking in terms of, you know, your next step in the career? Was it, right, do you know what, this recruitment company isn't for me, I'm going to find another one? Or were you just change?
Do you know what happened, right? I got an offer from a really large agency. And it was interesting because the guy that approached me to join this agency, and it was a really large firm, he said to me, Rohit, you know, this company is massive, and you know, when you're actually cold calling, you don't have to explain yourself as a recruitment agency because people are going to know this business.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, yeah, they've got a massive brand. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be amazing if I join this company. So I did. I accepted the offer. I didn't sign, but I said I'd join. I had about 4 or 5 meetings with this recruitment agency. And I was really looking forward to it because all the other agencies that I worked for, they had no name. They had no brand. Like, every time I did a cold call or a cold call to a candidate or client, they'll be like, who, sorry?
Yeah.
But this company, I was like, wow, they got a brand. So yeah, I was there, had the paperwork, was just about to sign. And then someone called me up from a previous company and said, Broadbean are looking for a sales consultant. Do you want in? And I went, I know Broadbean and I've used Broadbean and they've got a brand. And if I pick up the phone to an agency, that's going to be a warmer call.
Yeah.
And so for me, I was like, oh, I've always wanted to do, I always knew that sales and IT is, you know, there's money to be had there and technology is always going to change and evolve. And I thought that was, and obviously I thought that was going to be my footing into the tech world. And, yeah, I made that switch. It was a very difficult switch though, because I said to my girlfriend, my wife at the time, look, I've got this offer at Broadbean. Do I take that or do I go to this agency? And she says, look, you've tried recruitment. Why didn't you give
try something new.
Software sales a go? And I did. I made that jump. I do feel like there's unfinished business in recruitment because the world has changed so much since I did it back then to what it is now.
Like, yeah, I mean, even if you look over the last sort of like 3 or 4 years with COVID, I mean, obviously,
yeah,
you know, recessions impact how businesses are run. Obviously, you lose some that aren't as successful. You have something like pandemic. You look at the technology that's changed, you know, the working from home, the hybrid working, working in the UK on different hours because you're focusing on America or Australia. And we have recruiters within our businesses that are doing exactly that, to your point of the evolution. So, yeah. You're at Broadbean. How long were you at Broadbean for?
6.5 years.
So again, another long stint.
Yeah.
And towards the end of Broadbean then, what was your mindset when you were like, you know, I've done my time in tech sales?
I've always been passionate about sales and I still do it now. You know, but for me, I started to see a shift in the marketplace. And what I realized is a lot of recruitment agencies were using less job boards, actually spending more money on social media and their own website. So at the start of my career in 2012, I would find an agency that they're using like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 job boards. Yeah, my end of my career there, people were just using, you know, 1 or 2.
Yeah.
So for me, I started looking deeper as to go, why, what is going on? Well, you had mergers, like acquisitions with job boards. And then I was thinking, okay, what about their websites? And I started to hear a lot of people talking about, you know, how do I post to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all these things. And I was like, rather than posting to an application page or to a job board, shouldn't you be driving traffic to an app, to your own site, to where your front door is. And you know, I guess that's where kind of Pager was born, really.
How did you come up with the name Pager?
I didn't. It was one of my business partners in America, Kelly Robinson. So the idea was Darren's, and then Darren sort of got me in and said, look, I've got this product, do you want in? Because
And Darren's the CEO.
Darren is the CEO, yeah. And Darren Westill said, look, you know, I really need someone to sell this for me. Can you go out to market? Can you do this with me?
Yeah.
You know, and it's been a hell of a journey.
How did you meet Darren initially?
So I met Darren at Broadbean, basically. He was a developer. He actually ended up being the CTO of Broadbean. I got talking to a lot of the developers at Broadbean. I was quite friendly with most of them. You know, they always used to be one side sales and the other side tech. But I always used to make conversations with everyone, really. We met there. I met my business partners at Broadbean as well. I left Broadbean and took some time out and
set up Pager.
And set up Pager, yeah.
So you had the name, you had the concept, like you said.
We were called Content App beforehand. Okay. And then we changed our name to Pager in end of 2018-19.
Okay.
Just because we didn't have an app. We still don't have an app.
But you were called Content App.
Yeah, were called Content App. I mean,
misguiding
like,
slightly.
It's like two syllables. It's like it should be much more sharper and much more, you know. And Pager, Kelly Robinson is, he's again, one of the founding members of this business. And he wanted to call it Pager because you remember back in the day where you got a pager,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. Pre my time, obviously.
Right, obviously my time too, yeah. And, actually, nurses still use it today.
Oh, do they?
They do, yeah. But it's got like a screen and it's all nice and fancy. And basically, because Pager can find relevant content and obviously ping you a text message, very similar to what a pager can do.
Yeah.
And, we rebranded, renamed in 2019, I think it was. Yeah, 2019.
So off the back of that... Off the back of that then, you've rebranded to Pager. Obviously before then you found the gap in the market and you went to market, sold it. What was the take up on it? You know, run through what Pager does in a nutshell for everyone listening.
Yeah. Well, look, Pager is a marketing platform specifically designed for recruiters. So the goal is to increase your brand awareness across LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, across your company pages, but also your recruiters' profiles as well. So it's to drive traffic back to your website and increase your brand across your social media pages using automations with content and branded job adverts across your social media platforms.
So when at the time you were launching Pager or Content App at the time, what was, you know, in your words, you saw a shift in the market, people then posting to social media and back to their, you know, websites, and the focus from job boards that people were using 11, then down to 2, you know, costs were going up, there were mergers. What was the uptake on Content App at the time when you first put it to market?
Time. You know, and actually what I wanted to do was actually speak to agencies and actually small to medium-sized businesses first, because I noticed that they didn't have time to find relevant content, to create really nice graphical imagery. It's you know, one person trying to do everything, trying to source for candidates, source for clients and do payroll. And unfortunately, marketing is just one of those things that just slips through the net because they don't have time. And they actually don't have time or know how or where to start.
And I guess that's more relevant today as well. We talked about the evolution of technology over the years anyway. And if, you know, you go back to the start of Facebook, you know, that was the first kind of big social media platform that really took off. Then Twitter, LinkedIn, MySpace was out there, then Snapchat, TikTok. There's more apps. As back in the day when TikTok launched, I don't think there was ever a recruiter who first saw that, you know, 8 years ago or whenever it launched and went, this is going to be a really good tool for recruitment. But now if you speak to businesses, there are recruiters on TikTok and use that. You know, so to your point is there's a lot less time people have. So that gap in the market has actually got better for Pager, I'm assuming.
Yeah, definitely. But I also would really like to stress for people listening is that you've got to understand where your demographics lie. Mm. If your candidates and clients sit on LinkedIn and Twitter, focus on those channels. You know, there's really no point focusing, you know, on Facebook and Instagram if they're not
if they're not providing anything back for you.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If you start pushing out value there, like they're not sitting on there, they're sitting on LinkedIn and Twitter. So utilize those platforms. You know, make sure people are posting. Make sure people are posting right content, and to the brand guidelines, of course.
Again, yeah, I mean, everything's based on an algorithm, isn't it? And I know, you know, if you look at Google, who's historically everyone tries to win the Google algorithm to be number one for SEO and things like that. Obviously, that's quite heavy, and you know, it's something we spend a lot of time on in our business and with all of our portfolio partners, who a lot of which do use Pager, don't they?
Yes.
Off the back of that, in terms of the technology and your point saying focusing on where it's valued and the responses that you get back, what do you foresee the market being much different this year than it was the last in terms of technology?
Look, there's always going to be things that are going to be coming through, right? And technology is always going to be evolving, especially with AI, with ChatGPT-3. All these things are going to come, and then people are going to, it's going to keep evolving. You know, there's no two way about it. You know, for example, job advert creator, you know, that's something that could be quite useful, especially for graduates that are coming onto the scene. You know, it's something that we're looking to do as well, right? So we as Pager are always going to evolve technology all the time, and we're going to follow the industry to make sure that recruiters are more efficient, to make sure that they can get, you know, efficiently the job done.
Yeah.
Right.
So have you got a big development path then planned for this year?
Yeah, we've always got a roadmap, a huge roadmap in terms of what we want to do, you know, the reporting side, the technology side. Feedback from clients and candidates is really key. We last week we just launched Ghostwriter, which allows you to ask a question and it writes the blog for you. And we did that off the back of the feedback we got from our users. You know, they know the subject, they just don't know where to start.
Mm.
And I'm kind of going back to that time aspect. No one has time to write that, and I guess that's where Pager comes in, and it creates that blog for you.
You could be an industry leader, best recruiter, but you're not the best writer. And I think,
right,
you know, I think you touched on it earlier. You know, in every business, not just recruitment, but recruitment is really time poor. Everyone's days are pretty manic, and you're trying to fit in. You know, like you said, people want to work for brands, obviously, because that initial call is warmer. People know that you're an established business, that you've worked with big clients. So you're putting that time in, but you're not the best writer, or you're not the best graphic designer. But then how the hell do you beat LinkedIn's algorithm to get your content out above everybody else?
Correct,
and I guess that's a massive help, you know, where Pager doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, we are LinkedIn marketing partners, so we do get their algorithms every quarter. We do have their APIs ultimately. You know, they do change quite often, so we do explain to our users the best times to post, what times, what days. You know, one of the things you should take away today is to try and be consistent. And the three key pillars that I believe, you know, recruiters should be doing to make sure you're organically growing your followers is curated content. So that's finding content in your industry and talking about that piece of subject, whether that be, you know, ChatGPT-3, or whether that's something about, you know, technology in your specific sector. Secondly, it's your job adverts, so your actual service. That's where you have the opportunity to not only drive people back to your website, but to actually create your brand. And so that's the second pillar, and third pillar, it's that creating of content, which can be really tricky for a lot of recruiters.
So there's a phrase being bandied around at the minute. I guess when we saw in the recruitment market towards the end of last year, the terminology kind of softening of the market. You know, if you look at H1 last year, you know, recruiters were manic. Not that it was easy, but it was a lot easier than H2. You're having to work a lot harder, providing a better service for clients. And when you see people talk about, especially obviously in January, talk about the review of 2022 and what's planned for 2023, you know, one of the things that I'm seeing is do more with less. Do you think that's applicable this year?
Do more with less. I think so, yeah. I think, you know, look, the market is still really buoyant. Like, I speak to hundreds of agencies, like, week in, week out, right? And I still think the market is there to be had for recruiters 100%, you know, and like I said, recruitment's not like it was back when I did it, right, nearly 20 years ago. I think people have the technology right in their palm of their hands. So for example, client mapping, for example, again, that's something that people should be doing right now, right? Like making sure that they're on top of their clients, making sure if they're in the news, they know about it, speaking to the right people, if they've created a podcast or if they've been on Twitter, for example, if they've been in the news, then talk about it and share that to your HR manager or the person that you're speaking to, because that's really invaluable information. And again, that's something that Pager provides recruiters with. I think this year is going to be quite a strong year for recruiters, because you've still got a need for candidates, and I think that's a mixture of both Brexit and COVID. There's always going to be a demand for candidates, I think, in really any sector that I'm speaking to right now, whether it's construction or tech.
And I think last year, the stats are around, there was 8,000 new recruiters. The year before that, I think there was 6,000. So yeah. I think to your point that this year, all the signs are, you know, if you work hard and you provide a good service, then the market is absolutely there.
Yeah.
We foresee probably another 6,000 to 8,000 recruitment companies. This year, we're going to see another 6,000 to 8,000 recruitment companies come to market. You know, so competition is getting harder.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you look at technology as a whole, I think it's a really cool aspect of kind of doing more with less. Seems like, well, everyone should panic because of the economy, which isn't the case. I think it's, for me, it's being strategic about what you use. I mean, we constantly, monthly and quarterly, review every single bit of tech we do. You know, sometimes we're really good at it, sometimes not, you know, because it's going well. But I think when you look at the market, there's a lot of tech that comes to market that can, the silver bullet that solves marketing for recruiters and things like that. But I think, you know, rather than the statement of kind of doing more with less, is utilising what you have more effectively.
100%. You know, the technology is there, but unfortunately, it's not going to pick up the phone, right?
It's not going to do the job
for you. It's not going to do the job for you, unfortunately. Maybe it will do at some point, but you still got to dial those numbers, right? So, and again, that's going back to the question you asked me before. That I'm really, I spoke to someone about this the other day, actually. I work with him in an agency. He now runs his own agency and his own firm. And we spoke and we talked about, you know, those days. And we both said, we're so glad that we actually went through that whole rigmarole of really grafting, you know, folding your sleeves up. Because you can, with all the tech that is out at the moment, still got to pick up the phone. But you've just got so much more information. And when you're mapping clients and mapping candidates, you can do that so much more easier.
Yeah.
Or maybe I've just grown older, I don't know. Maybe.
I think it's having, like you said, it's having the technology that is now a lot more supportive.
Yeah.
You know, it but algorithms picking up keywords and things like that. You know, 20 years ago, and we did a podcast with James Kahn, and his statement was, when he first started in 85 with Alexander Mann, was he had a phone and a phone book, you know, in a back room. And it was just that, and he was reading every single CV top to bottom, and putting adverts out in newspapers. And obviously, every job and every industry evolves, and you know it's good that you kind of experience that. But I think not by any means that recruiters have it any easier. Arguably, there's actually a lot more now for recruiters to do, because if you look at tech and AI, scanning all CVs, you know, all the back end algorithms, you get a lot more information today than you did 10, 20 years ago. So.
Yeah.
Utilising the tech, I guess back to my point of, you know, do better with what you've got and make it more efficient, for me is more valuable for this year.
Yeah.
In terms of clients and your growth this year, what are you looking at and how many clients do you have?
We've got just over 650 clients, majority of them are in the UK, but we do have clients from America to Australia. So we do have clients all over, you know. At Pager, we have 35 people in the business, and that includes sales, implementation, and account management. And it's really important that everyone's aligned. So we're all aligned. So when a new customer comes on board, you know, the salespeople need to understand what they're looking to achieve, why they bought Pager. you know, and then that information goes on to our implementation team, to our account management team. I think sometimes vendors lose the communication as to why, what are you looking to achieve? That question, that simple question as to what are you looking to achieve and why have you bought Pager? What's the reasoning? Get to that point. Because then everyone in my team knows why you bought Pager and what your goals are, so they can focus on your goals and use Pager for your goals. And that is really important, especially for vendors, you know, going into, you know, other vendors if they are listening, that's really important to make sure everyone's aligned.
And I guess they're you know, the best source of information, you know, they're in the thick of it day in, day out. And, you know, yeah, we've had the same conversations, you know, when we've done it, it's kind of come to you and go, oh, it'd be great if it did this or that, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess constantly training back to recruiters on what Pager does, because obviously it's evolving massively from where it started,
yeah,
you know, to the, you know, the product and roadmap that you touched on earlier.
Mm.
And I guess, you know, a lot of time of training is probably going to be really important this year, making the most of, you know, particularly what Pager can do for recruiters.
Yeah, look, talking about training, we do on-site training as well. So that's really important. So rather than doing it over Zoom or Hangouts, you know, what's funny about that is you could look like you're paying attention, but actually you're just scrolling through your phone, right? Yeah. And it's quite funny. But when you're actually face-to-face, and that's why I love face-to-face, that's why I love doing these things, is that you can really gauge the other person, whether they're listening, whether they're, you know, taking in what they're saying. And so our implementation team, our account management team, they go out. We've got a couple of people that are in Wales, in, you know, Portsmouth, you know. So they're everywhere. Just to make sure that we get the best out of our clients and they get the best out of us as well. So face-to-face meetings and training is imperative to our business, and we do offer that for our clients.
And I think it's super important. I think when you're trying to make, you know, if you're a CEO of a business or even just a recruiter trying to improve your desk,
yeah,
it's fully, you know, going back to my point, fully understanding that you do have to pay for the service.
Mm-hmm.
So why not kind of leech all the information out of you and utilize that to be better than your competitors?
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely, and we're gonna be doing that, you know, moving forward in terms of, you know, service. You know, for me, service is number one. If you can give service, then, you know, they're clients forever. Hopefully, touch wood.
So, final thoughts then.
Yeah,
you've had a really successful run with Pager. You know, yeah, over 600 clients. Your global business. You know, the service you provide supports recruiters build their brand, get information quickly, and point people back to their websites, and build brand building effectively.
Correct.
You mentioned about one product you're launching this year. What else have you got on the roadmap that people would be interested in?
Well, look, we've just released a Boolean builder. So if you're hiring grads or trainees into your business, what Pager can do is if you create a job title, it creates the Boolean search string for you. So again, going back to, you know, the days we used to do recruitment, we had to do the ands and ors. It does it for you straight away. So you can instantly search on your job boards through Pager.
Perfect. Rohit, really appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.